Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, welcome to Redman TV and welcome to the Uncensored Match build-up for Liverpool versus Genk in the Champions League. I'm Ross Chanley, joined by Ben Kelly, Tom Dutton and Jack Gill for this one.
You struggled on my name then.
No, because I was going to call you Thomas and you don't like it.
No, you can't call me Thomas.
Why?
Well, now people are going to call me Thomas.
Do your parents call you Thomas?
Yeah, my family call me Thomas.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I'm joined by Thomas Dutton for this one. Ben, come to you first. They're always big games in Liverpool, but I'll put at the top of the agenda, it's a massive game purely because we can put distance between ourselves and Salzburg an inch closer to qualification at the group stage.
Yeah, this is going to make our lives a lot easier if we just do what we should do tomorrow night. Obviously, the Napoli game follows it. I think the fixtures have fallen quite kindly for us in the sense of we've got two home games in a row now in this competition. Go and win both of these, we're going to be through and we're probably going to top the group. And you get Salzburg away on the last round of fixtures,
which play the kids.
Play the kids. Yeah, you know, there's hopefully a week's rest day. Yeah, you know, and it's a good opportunity to hopefully be top of the group at that stage. So yeah, this is a game where really Liverpool should be winning, and we should be looking to basically this is going to be a key game in qualification for us.
And on the back of that, Tom, is this a game where we'll come to preferred 11s later on? But do you go all out in this one? Do you do a bit of rotation? Again, there's a big game at the weekend going on. Game, yeah. Do you have one eye on that, or do you do what Klopp says and pretty much what every player manager says? You know, take one game at a time, ensure that we get qualification, get that done and dusted first, and then move on.
I think we've got enough time in between the games, to be honest with you. I think it's Tuesday, Sunday, so I think we've got plenty of time. We've had teams play the same team pretty much with 2 days. You know what I mean? So I think we'll have time to train, we'll have time to rest, we'll have time to do everything in preparation for City. So I think we just go out there against Genk and what Ben says, just go out there, win the game, win it comfortably, make everyone happy at Anfield and show the rest of Europe again what Liverpool are made of. I think that's massive for me in terms of making teams scared of you and going, oh, have you seen the result that Liverpool have got there? And I think the 4-1 away from home will have done that. Especially after losing to Napoli, and everyone's like, "Oh, Liverpool can be getting got to." Is that right saying?
Got at.
You know what I mean? But I think
that's why he's host.
Yeah, exactly. But then if you can just go out there and show the rest of Europe, now we mean the business again here, and we're going to put teams to the sword. It's not going to be easy. Genk are a good side. They showed that away from home, and they'll be buoyed, I think, by how RB Salzburg played against us, where they went, okay, let's just throw caution to the wind and let's go at it, and they got somewhere. So we've got to put out a good team here, because Genk aren't going to just roll over.
No, and in that sense, Jack, they've got nothing to lose, really. They currently sit bottom of three games on 1 point. They don't have any more distance, and I think they're pretty much out, obviously, depending on what happens with Napoli and Salzburg. So therefore, they can just probably throw the kitchen sink, wasn't it, in that sense? In a way, like, they provided an attacking threat. Samata was very good. Onichua, I think I pronounced that right, was also very good. And again, they can just do what they want in that sense, can't they?
Yeah, I mean, firstly, obviously, they're in the Champions League. They have quality, but they're eighth in the Belgian league. They're not that good. We should get some goals, and we should comfortably beat them at Anfield, even with a rotated side. Just being realistic, like. But I remember Chris saying, went after the Salzburg game on the final word, and him saying, actually, for teams like this, they want games like this. They want to go to Anfield. They want to go against the European champions in it. They want to go, you know what, you're not going to blow us away. We're going to fight here. And I think there is always that danger, as you say, teams want to come to Anfield and they want to do what they can. They want to do a Salzburg, but I think for us, I think there will be rotation, and I think we'll do the job quite easily.
Rotation doesn't necessarily mean that it's not as strong, though. That's the best part. Yeah. We spoke about it on the final word. There's players there that can affect games. So we speak about rotation, but it's rotation in the centre-half department, Lovren and Gomez, talking point, rotation in the midfield, and there's rotation up front, maybe if Salah's injured. But all the people that come on, I'm very happy with them seeing them in the starting lineup. I just know that this squad has different dimensions to it, and yes, we might change how we play slightly, but it's not going to change the result directly. I think we'll still go out there and win.
We've got enough quality, haven't we? Somebody Thomas just mentioned there, Ben, is Salah, and I said I think he had a very good game against Aston Villa, but obviously there was stuff that he, you know, there's fluid drain from his ankle. He hadn't been training all week, and as it stands at 12 o'clock on Monday, you know, everything's fine. Does he play?
I think it's so difficult because obviously we had this conversation kind of about obviously different kind of scenario, but with Fabinho at the weekend when you're talking about him, you know, do you risk him and all that? And my mentality was, well, very much, well, we'll take things one game at a time and we'll focus on the very next game. But I think actually the fact that Fabinho didn't play at the weekend maybe proves that Klopp is maybe starting to think a little bit long term and looking about the season on a whole. He's looking at the bigger picture. So that actually for me is evidence to support that he might rotate Salah tomorrow night because he will be looking at City and he will be seeing that that is clearly the bigger game. And obviously, you know, the Champions League is a massive competition, but it's evident at this point that we are all in for the league. You know what I mean? Like the way Klopp is approaching games, not only to start with, but also the way he's trying to change games to get 3 points where, you know, in previous seasons it might have been 1 point, to get anything you can out of games where you're behind. You know, it's clearly, that is the one that we are going for this season. He'll be looking at Man City and he'll be going, look, this is a game tomorrow night that we can and should be winning without Mo Salah. You've got an opportunity there to put a 9 point gap between you and a Pep Guardiola side on Sunday. For me, Mo Salah, if he does play tomorrow, I'll be surprised.
And Origi again against Arsenal. a bit hit and miss, but he gets two great goals. Yeah. He's gonna be full of confidence if he was to start this game. So I personally think there's been past times where you look at Lallana, Lovren, you know, maybe in a couple of months ago, you kind of go, I don't want that. But as Ben says, these people are coming out of the cold or off the bench or whatever, they're having an effect on games.
They're literally palpable effect. Yeah. You see it on the pitch, you see the change of dimension. Again, we spoke about Oxlade-Chamberlain giving another, you said it perfectly, shuffling the pack and changing how the defences think about Liverpool. Divock Origi is another one of them. He's just a little bit more direct. Obviously, look, he's not our strongest front three is Salah, Firmino, Mane. It just is the movement and the way that they play when they're on proper form is unreal. I wouldn't be surprised to see Salah rested, and I wouldn't be bothered, to be honest with you. I think Mane can shift over to that right-hand side, and I think you put Divock Origi on the left-hand side, and it's just as threatening.
Arsenal was the first time I've seen Divock Origi in a very long time, okay, bar the Barca game, where I thought, well, actually, he's decent from the start. Recently in my head, I've gone, he's just an impact player.
He was a lot better through the centre with Arsenal, though,
because
he was bringing the ball down and then letting people play off him. I don't think he's going to have that role on Tuesday, just because Firmino's that good at doing that. But maybe we'll change the dimension. Maybe we'll just change how we play. Maybe we'll change formation. Who knows? And kind of just freshen things up a little bit. I don't know who you put on the left-hand side then. If it was Firmino in the 10, Origi is the 9, and Mane on the right. And it's a shame Shaqiri's not there, to be honest with you. That's the last
little
tiny
bit of
rotation.
He's miles off his team right now, isn't he?
Exactly, and it is a shame, but like I say, if Origi comes in on that left-hand side, I'm not worried at all. I'll bank on him getting a goal, to be honest with you.
The other talking point, Jack, I suppose, is centre-half, which again we spoke on a final word. It's a bit, as Ben said, on the show, up for grabs, that last spot. Again, in my mind, I wouldn't want to put words in your mouth, but I prefer Joe Gomez to start Man City. Therefore, does he start this game? Does he go and get some more game time under his belt and come off for 60 minutes and do that? What would your position be on Joe Gomez?
The thing is, I think Joe Gomez is obviously a fantastic player. I was talking this time last season about him and Van Dijk possibly being the best centre-back partnership in the world right at that point in time.
And then Matip came in and just
blew us all away. And I think, to be honest with you, personally, I think, as you say, Joe Gomez against Salzburg, bit of a shaky game. I didn't think he was awful, but he wasn't fantastic either. I think against Arsenal, for me, not many people are talking about this, but the lad's 21 years old, and you look at that defence that day next to Neco Williams, next to Sepp van den Berg, both on their first senior start for the club, and he was trusted to be the centre-back next to them. And for me, I think at the minute, yeah, we leaked a lot of goals in that game, but Joe Gomez is a fantastic centre-half, especially for his age. And it's like you say, I trust him more than Lovren, a lot more than Lovren. And in terms of Man City, I'd love him to start, but Ben said earlier, we don't get to see him all the time, and it does seem at the minute like Lovren's just ahead of him. So it wouldn't surprise me if he starts tomorrow, but I hope he's rested and Lovren starts.
I think Lovren is nailed on to start City.
Lovren?
Oh,
do you?
I think he plays.
I was going to say, does anyone think he's done anything wrong to be, well, not dropped or rotated, shall we say?
I think Gomez has been all right.
Was Lovren done anything?
No, but I think it's not a case of that. I think it's more the case of, I don't think you drop Gomez into a game of that intensity relatively.
That's
what
I'm saying. Does he start tomorrow? I play 16 minutes, then take him off. He's at the game time. Got underneath it. Then he goes for City. Because my concern with Lovren, I think what you get with Gomez, you get that extra pace. And we know how quick City are.
I don't think Gomez is ready, to be honest. I think this sounds bad, but I think the lack of consistent game time for him isn't helping. Mm. I think against Arsenal, he did look shaky. I think against Salzburg, exactly the same. I don't think he's ready to be thrown in at Man City. And either way, if we are going to play him against City, I want to see him start tomorrow, because I want him stringing game time together so I know he is ready for that City game. Because, as I say, I am so used to watching Joe Gomez, where he's been outstanding. And I think it comes to the point where I don't want him to be thrown in that game and everyone slag him off like they did against Salzburg, because he doesn't deserve that. He's a fantastic centre-half. But I just think he's not ready at this point in time to start that Man City game.
Well, you want it to?
I want to give him the chance to prove you wrong, if I'm honest. But I think you're exactly right in terms of the not consistent game time. It's not helping him. I think we've given Lovren the chance to show that he can come in and play at the top level again, and he's pretty much gone, okay, yeah, I can do that. And I think Joe Gomez deserves that as well, and I think I want to see him against Genk. And then if he has a good game, play him against City as well. I don't see why not. I think you've got to put him in there, get him alongside Virgil van Dijk again, instead of kids that he's having to talk through games. Instead, he's getting talked through games, and let him show how good he is, because he is fantastic. I think he has a better... I don't know, the only option I can see where he doesn't is if Klopp wants to keep him on the bench, because he is so versatile. He can play left back, he can play right back, he can play centre-half. If we have to change stuff up, I think that's why Milner sometimes gets left on the bench, because he can play so many roles in this team. It's nice to have someone off the bench who can do that. Trent's injured, what do you do? I mean, in that instance, maybe you just move Gomez over and then sub Lovren on. There are ways around it, but maybe that's something Klopp's thinking about.
Don't forget as well, it was Lovren actually last season who made the mistake when we lost to City at the Etihad. And for me, it's one of them things where it's trust. And I think we'd be more confident as Liverpool fans to see Gomez on that team sheet against City than seeing Lovren. And I think that's how it is. I think they're both fantastic centre-halves. And as you say, at the minute, it's sort of up for grabs. But I trust Gomez more.
Okay, interesting talking point. Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. Would you go for Lovren or Gomez? Someone who is missing, we'll come on to in a second, is, not missing, who's back in the side, hopefully, is Fabinho. Chris did a brilliant stats and tactics show post-Tottenham game, just to see how good he is. Here's a little clip.
Again, we pick up Fabinho in the middle of the park. The ball's broken down from a Tottenham possession, probably one of their under 10-second possessions, to be honest with you. And now look, Mo Salah calling for the ball over the top. Sadio Mane sprinting for the ball over the top. He's looking that way. What he does is, I reckon he gets a call, because I don't think he can see him. You can see that he's looking forward. I think he gets a call from Trent here, and he stops and fights that urge to whip that ball over the top, which he's more than capable of. And he takes a touch and he plays the ball out to Trent instead. And Trent ends up in a load of space here. Moving on again. And now Trent's got the ball, and Trent's playing a ball over the top as it's moved on slightly. And that's the one that, that Mane should have scored from. And again, it's not that it's a difficult pass or it's too difficult for Fabinho, but he's trusting his players because it's got to have been a shout. He can see the two runners. He trusts the players that if they're calling for it, there's a better option for me. That takes a lot of balls. I make the wrong mistake on the football field so many times when people are calling because I think I can see and do something that I probably can't see. And well, I can see it. With my glasses, but I can't actually do it. What he's done is he's given Trent a little bit of an angle for Sadio Mane at the back stick, and we should have gone 1-1 at that point.
Awesome as ever from Chris. Stats and Tactics show is a superb show. I'm not one for stats and tactics myself, but I think when you watch that, you learn a thing or two, and it goes really in depth on it. So, you know, your first month is free on theredmantv.com. It's £5 thereafter. But Tom, you edit these shows. You get to watch them, and I guess you were similar to me in the sense of I just see the games it is. It's pretty simple, but when you watch what Chris does and the amount of work that goes into it as well, you get a real insight as to how it goes on.
It is a lot of work, definitely. When we're watching it, when we were doing it, it's really interesting, and it's stuff that you're looking at it and you're going, I'm sure I know how he's doing that, and then you realise the ins and outs of how he's doing it and why he's doing it in certain situations. Fabinho, I'm talking about, and okay, why is he positioning there because it frees up this guy, and look at this ball, why is he playing that because of this, and he's so intelligent on the field, that's why he's so integral to how we play. It's why he's one of the first names on the team sheet at the moment, part of that world-class spine. Chris is going to be doing one after this game as well, the Ghent game, so, I mean, go and check it out 100%, because there'll be something in there that Chris will pick out and just go, this is another way that Liverpool do this stuff. It is fascinating, because every game you see a different facet, and you get to learn a bit more in-depth stuff, and it's improving my knowledge of Liverpool anyway.
Yeah, let's go and check that out. Whilst we're talking about him, Ben, Fabinho back in for this one.
I think so. Yeah, definitely. I think he's just class, isn't he? You know what I mean? Like, and this is the type, he's had a rest at the weekend, he'll come in. I mean, and look, he's not, in our system, he's not the player that's demanded the most out of. Obviously, he doesn't play the most intense role on the side in terms of all the pressing that the front two, you know, the two ahead of him do. He is more of a luxury player in our team. And look, there's no slackers, but, you know, a rest will have done him good. But it's not like he's going to struggle playing Tuesday, Sunday now. You know, he's going to be fully fit to go and take these two games and really give his all in them. And I think, you know, this is a game where if we... Well, every single game, the midfield key is battle. The midfield battle is key. But this is a game where really, if you do get on top of the midfield properly and early on, you can control it and you can get quite a few goals from there.
Preferred 11s. We spoke about a few players. Tom, you first.
My preferred 11 is Alisson in goal, Trent right back, Gomez in there, Van Dijk, Robbo, Fabinho in there, then Oxlade-Chamberlain and Milner. In the eight roles, Mane on the right, Firmino in the centre, Origi on the left.
Exactly.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Exactly the same.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, it's Cato or Milner, you know, that's the one. But
I think if you're playing Chamberlain...
Ox has got to go in.
Which was good away. I think having a better balance of having someone in Milner who's a bit more defensive reserve can protect the back four, because we were exposed a few times at Genk, and I think that's because we had Cato and Chamberlain both going forward, and Fabinho was kind of on his own. So I kind of get that. Jack, have you got any...
I'd Cato in over Milner. Just
so you go Fabinho, Cato, Ox?
Yeah. Okay. I think, obviously, it works so well Genk away. I think everyone loved it. I think also that if we're leading early on against City, Klopp would bring Milner on early in that game. That's my opinion.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Is Milner in the frame for starting against City?
I think so.
I'd have the Milner, Ox, Fabinho midfield for City.
Milner, Ox, Fabinho.
Really?
Really? Wow. Mm, so you take both of them? Okay.
Why Henderson's good? Henderson's a good player.
I'm not saying he's not. I think
in Fabinho, Henderson,
just think how intense that game is going to be. I think we'll come on to this when we do the build up for Man City, but I just think the professionalism and how calm James Milner is.
Yeah,
I think you need that against Man City.
The big thing when Milner plays that left sided number 8 role is he just tucks in and becomes a left back. He doesn't really play. So, but
you need that against Man City.
No, but what I'm saying is it lets Robbo go further up the field. It just frees Robbo. Robbo plays as a left winger then, and I think you're gonna need that, especially if Origi's gonna be on that left hand side. You need more. I don't know if Cater's gonna do the tracking back that. James Milner will do, in terms of he just knows where to be, slots in, Robbo's there, we've got the cover, Origi doesn't need to worry too much about getting back. We know Mane's fantastic at it, but in my lineup, he's going to be on the right-hand side. I think you need that extra cover just because of how pacey Genk are and how dangerous they're going to be on the break at Anfield. Look, Milner's fantastic there, and yeah, that's my reasons.
I don't want to disrespect Genk at all, but I think, obviously, in terms of needing cover defensively, I don't think Genk's the game where that's going to be needed. I think we can play that midfield through with Cato and Oxen and blow Genk away, personally. I think against City, I think they're going to be going into the game knowing that they could do with the 3 points against us. They know that actually the rest of the league is shockingly shite at the minute, and that actually where are we going to slip up? And they're going to come to Anfield knowing that it may be make or break for them, and at the end of the season this game would be very important. And I think putting James Milner in, as you say, he's one of them players that will battle for everything, and I think it's one of them where I'd love to see him start against City, to be honest.
The only thing with that is what Ross spoke about before, Genk need to get a result here. This is their one and last chance where they need to go and win, so they're going to put everything to it, as much as they're not the best, and I agree with you, and I don't think you're being disrespectful, you're just saying how good Liverpool are. But if Genk are going to go out there and try literally the best that they can do, we need to have a bit more defensive stability for me. Yes, maybe we can just blow them out. Maybe the best form of defence is attack. Maybe just go out there and score 3 and then they don't want to play anymore. But I don't know. I feel like they're going to give us a game.
It's like we don't know how fit Keita is as well, so starting him may not be an option.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to wait and see. Loads of discussion points in there. Let us know your preferred 11 to start defensive league midfield. What's going on? What do you think Klopp will do?
I don't know. I've got no idea. I think it's difficult.
And they tell Chris his job, I guess, not starting 11 every week.
Klopp's going to put a team out that wins the game.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to do. Or if we have
fucking hell. Yeah, well,
no, that's what's going to happen. That's literally what's going to happen. It happens every game, Ross. I literally have utmost faith in this team. So, all right, we'll have a bad first half. Second half will come out so much better. Klopp's going to win the game.
I suppose he has that advantage. I think Ben touched on it before. I've seen people on face value day in, day out. He'll have all the analytics, whether Salah's going to be fine or not, or whatever.
I think I was starting to get a feel of what he was going to pick team-wise. And then he goes and picks that midfield at the weekend. That would have been my last shout, him putting Lallana in there and it going to him in the six. It's so unpredictable, and that's another thing we have at the minute where other managers don't know how we're going to line up all the time. I mean, we're saying at the minute where actually you probably expect a midfield 3 against City of Fabinho, Gini and Henderson, because that's Klopp's big game midfield, as you were. But in terms of looking at it now, we're saying, actually, you could throw Ox in there. We've seen him do brilliant things against City before. You put Milner in there, gives you a bit more defensive stability. We've got loads of options, and it's fucking brilliant.
Yeah. the other game in our group, and I think, Ben, you said before, it's kind of fallen quite nicely. Napoli are at home to Salzburg.
Yeah.
They could possibly do us a favour there. That'll put them on 10 points. If we win, we're on 9 points, and obviously Red Bull and Genk will still be on 3-1.
We're pretty much good there, aren't we? You know what I mean?
We need 1 point from two games if that were to happen. Do you fancy Napoli to do it? Because Salzburg are in the same position as Genk. They need to win. And we've seen how good they are going forward.
I think Napoli's obviously a tough place to go. I think if Salzburg were gonna do it, it's at Napoli. So if Salzburg were gonna, you'd back them at home.
But sorry, Ben. Anfield's a difficult place for them to go, and they came.
Napoli.
We played well at Napoli.
We're gonna know in a second.
Whatever result comes out of that, there's benefits to us because we're gonna go on 9, and we're either gonna top the group or we're gonna be so far away from Red Bull that we're practically through. So, yeah.
We played well at Napoli, didn't we, Tom?
We did play well at Napoli, and we lost because of a dive.
VAR.
But it's another sign of encouragement is what I'm getting. I was taking the piss. But for Salzburg, to look at what Liverpool did, how they played at Anfield as well, the lads make good points, they could easily go and get something.
Yeah, I think Salzburg, I underestimated them, especially when they came to Anfield. And they've got Haaland in there, who's playing fantastically, isn't he? They've got a young starlet basically making waves in the Champions League. Wouldn't put one past them scoring, to be honest. I think Napoli probably have done the bag. I mean, the atmosphere of that Napoli stadium was unbelievable. Once they scored, I think it was the pen. Once they scored the pen, I couldn't hear myself think, and I was like, "This is unreal." Never experienced anything like it. And I don't know if maybe I will in the future, but it was so ear piercingly loud. Yeah. It was great.
The whistling was definitely.
It was fantastic to witness. It's going to be tough for Abbey there, but I mean, I want Napoli to do it.
Who do you think will win?
I think Napoli do it.
I think it'll be a draw.
Napoli,
yeah.
Napoli draw.
Nice little score. Take draw. A draw. Be good, yeah.
What about our game? Score predictions.
3-0 to Liverpool.
Oh, what a 3-0.
We're conceding. I don't want us to. But we're conceding.
But there's not coming a point where we go a clean sheet.
I thought that was Arsenal.
How wrong you were.
I backed us for some reason, even though we had a different defence. I think we're gonna win 3-1.
Jack?
6-1.
Is there a hat trick in there?
No.
So three people score 2?
No. I'm going to give you the exact scores.
Give us the minutes as well.
Yeah, the time, yeah.
Origi scored 2.
How?
Two overhead kicks from the halfway line. Oxlade-Chamberlain scored 2. And then Mane 1. And
Virgil.
Keita 1.
Ooh, Keita. Oh, well, that good. Comes that off, we're clipping that up, aren't we?
Yeah.
I'll take 4-0. I think it's about time we got a clean sheet. Yeah. I think go and get the game done, be aggressive, and then take people off.
This feels like the Maribor game from a couple of years ago. I think we played them on this match day, and we pretty much rocked up. It wasn't a great game. It was pretty boring, but we won 3-0, and we were comfortable.
Red Star as well last season.
Yeah.
You can see 10 goals already in 3 games. Yeah. So.
We've got the quality for sure.
Yeah. Other games, Chelsea, Ajax. Quick look at them.
Yeah, good that they're on at the same time. This happened the other week when we were the live show. Yeah, we can't watch them because the game on Wednesday are crap unless Spurs go and bottle it at Red Star, which is a possibility. Yeah. That's the one I'll be watching.
I think Ajax probably have them there.
Yeah.
I really do.
I think Ajax. Mm-hmm. I'm saying draw again. I think Spurs lose away at Red Star.
Yeah.
And I think City win, but maybe only just.
You're back in Red Star.
I don't know if I'm backing them, but it's a tougher game. Obviously, we know that it's a tougher game away from home than it is at home. Spurs quite comfortable the other week. I'm not, I don't know if I'm backing them, but that's the game I'll be watching because I think that's where on the Wednesday night that's the more likely there's games being upset.
I'm backing them. I think they're Tottenham are shit. They're poor. I watched that game yesterday against Everton. It was a relegation battle. That was how it was played.
That's
it was
a shit game.
It was a shit game. It was awful.
Are you not content with pissing off Aston Villa fans?
I just want to piss off everyone.
Yeah.
You know,
I think Everton do that to teams, though.
Yeah.
Everton just drag them down to their 0-0 level.
I mean, just looking at Bazzi's Twitter earlier, I saw him say himself that Everton was shit and Tottenham was shit.
Yeah.
It was just a shit game. And I think
it'd be interesting to see if Son plays that game, because he was obviously distraught at what happened.
Their players don't want it. But at the minute, you've got Eriksen, who doesn't look like he wants to play. His stats every week are shocking. You've got players that don't want to be there. Kane can't play. He's ill, I believe. He's out the game. So I'm backing Red.
The best part is I don't care.
You were talking, you're just out there going, are you backing Zen?
Don't give a fuck.
Okay. Generally, watch it.
Liverpool or no one.
Literally.
Yeah.
Not I.
Okay.
Premier League's a different story, but yeah. Champions League.
Well, it's bonfire night Tuesday, so do fireworks on Wednesday, sorted.
I already did it on here. I went to firework display in town.
That's a great story.
Any other fireworks should have gone through there?
No. Let's wrap it up there. Let's know your preferred 11 score predictions. What you're doing for bonfire night, if you're going to some fireworks or not, get it in the comments below. We'll be back with post-match content.
It's a terrible day for fireworks.
We're a step closer to qualifying for the Champions League knockout stages.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.